Into the Light Ministries is proud to present Your Alarm Call with Reverend Ron Vernier. Now we ask you to sit back and open your mind and your spirit to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and my name is David Bernier. I am the Associate Senior Pastor of Into the Light Ministries. Now, on behalf of myself and Into the Light Ministries, we would like to present the Alarm Call with Pastor Reverend Ron Bernier.
I'm glad each one of you could be with us today, and I thank you for joining us. I want to talk about a subject today that we rarely ever hear preached in the church anymore, and I don't know why, because it's such an important topic. And it has to do with what we have been teaching on, what we have been ministering on, the law versus Christianity. And this is a certain aspect of it, as you know, those of you who have been following it. We dealt quite a bit with tithing and how that is Old Testament and not New Testament. And now I want to deal with some of what the Lord has spoken to us in the New Testament. We've dealt with what we shouldn't do, and I want to share a little bit on what we should do. Once again, those of you that have your Bibles, and I pray everybody does by now, that you have learned, I'm not here to entertain you. Hopefully, we're here to be able to teach you something. I've asked you before not to listen to me, not to listen to any man, to any woman, but listen unto the Word of God. Have your Bible with you and read it. Read the verse before it and the verse after it. Make sure it is consistent throughout the Word of God, that it is God's Word, that it is His purpose, that it is His will, that you know clearly what He is speaking to you. And open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 19. And we're talking, remember, about the law versus Christianity. The law was nailed to the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ. The law is over with. We are now under grace. And it would behoove us to know what we are to do under the New Testament law of grace. For God has written His commandments upon our heart. And there are certain things that God has given us to do, and we must do those things, or we're going to be in trouble with God. Many times I've mentioned this, and I want to share it again, because the Apostle Paul says it's good to remind the brethren. The Word of the Lord says on that day, literally thousands, millions of people will come before the Lord, and Jesus will say, "Away from me, I never knew you." Now, these people are absolutely, positively sure that they are right with God. They are so sure that they are going to literally argue with Jesus Himself. They're going to say, "No, Lord, there's got to be a mistake. You really should read through the book again, because, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name? Didn't we do all these great works in Your name? Didn't we feed the poor and all these other things, all these programs we had going?" And Jesus is going to say, "Away from me, I never knew you." Now, what's the problem that Jesus never knew them? These are people that were going to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, the day they had that 4 a.m. prayer meeting. They were going all the time, just like they were under the law, just like they were under the Old Testament law or something. They knew them all, just part of it, cafeteria style. Either that or they missed what Jesus told them to do. Now again, if you would look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and beginning at verse 19, listen to the Word of God. What? Question mark. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You are not your own. For you are bought with a price, and therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. If you would, look at it this way for a moment. Say you've got a late model car. We'll just say a late model Cadillac. and you sell it to the guy down the street. You take his money, you sign the title card, he takes the car, that's now his car. That car was bought for a price. It doesn't belong to you anymore, it belongs to the guy down the street who bought it. But about 2 weeks after you sell it, you still got an extra set of keys to it, and you decide, well, tonight I think I'd like to have the Cadillac. So you go down there and jump in it and start it up and take off and go riding. What do you suppose is going to happen if you get caught tooling around town in that Cadillac? Obviously, you're going to jail. That's not your car. It was bought for a price. It belongs to somebody else. Your body, your spirit, if you're truly saved, if you've given yourself to Jesus, if you've truly been born again, you don't belong to yourself. You've been bought for a price. You belong to someone else. This body belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's up to him what he wants to do with it. Whether he wants it here in the TV studio filming the series, or whether he wants it to be preaching in a mud hut in Africa, it's up to Jesus. It's his body. He will supply all of the need that I have, but the body is his. If you look at 1 Corinthians 7, just jump over to chapter 7 and go down to verse 23. It's a very interesting verse there, and it says, you were bought at a price. And if you remember last month, we shared that price, the horrible price of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary, what really took place on Calvary. If you didn't see it, I ask you to send for the tape. We'll send it to you. They're free. But it says you were bought for a price, and therefore do not become slaves unto men. Do not become slaves unto men. Do not let man put you in bondage. Put a bunch of rules on you that you have to follow. You can't do this. I've been in churches where they have a whole list of rules nailed to the door. You can't do this, you can't do that. I mean, and they got more thou shalt not than both the Old and the New Testament put together. They got things on there nobody ever heard of. I ran into a ministry a short time ago, and they were from New Mexico, and they were traveling around the United States having deliverance sessions, delivering people of demons, delivering people who had ever seen the movie Star Wars. This was their whole ministry, delivering people who had seen Star Wars. I wonder what book that's in. That's some ministry. But again, there's no discernment in the church. Nobody seems to catch it. Nobody seems to catch on to what's happening. Let me share with you, if I may, why this is so important. I'll show you the scripture in a moment. But the Word of God says, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, by him all things were created. All things that were created by him. And nothing that was created without him. And all things that were created for his pleasure. In other words, you breathe, you live, you walk, you talk for his pleasure. That's the only reason you're alive, his pleasure. And there's a whole lot of people that are not bringing pleasure to God. And it would behoove us to look at the New Testament and to look at what the Word of God says, to look at what we have to do that God is pleased. For our main concern is to make sure that God is pleased with us. For when he stops being pleased with us, we are in serious trouble, very serious trouble. If you would, turn to Colossians chapter 1, in verses 15 and 16. I'll give you a second to get there. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. The Word of God said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. Remember, they were created for his pleasure. You and I were created for his pleasure. And what we're looking at today is what pleases God. Because that is the way we have to live, in a way that is pleasing unto God. I cannot count the amount of emails I get where somebody will say, pray for me for such and such a thing. I've been praying for years and I have not received it. I'll tell you the reason you have not received it. You are not pleasing to God. You are a thief. Yeah, you're a thief. You went to God one day and you said, Lord, I'm in trouble now. Everything has went wrong and that a marriage is going down the tube and I'm in debt, all these problems. Lord, I just want to be born again. I want you to come into my life and take over because I've made such a mess out of it. Well, God honors his word. And when you said that, God came in. And as soon as he did, and as soon as he began a work, as soon as he began to draw you out of these things, then you ran back and picked up your life, and you said, that's enough, God, now I'll take over again. It's like going back down and getting the car. Once you give your life to Jesus, you can't go pick it back up again. It's there. Leave it there. It's up to the Lord to do what he wants with it. But the Word of God says our reasonable sacrifice, reasonable, nothing exceptional, just reasonable, is to lay our bodies upon the altar as a living sacrifice unto God. To lay our bodies upon the altar as a living sacrifice unto God. For that is pleasing unto the Lord. There are so many prayers, 95% of the Christian prayers don't get answered because they are not pleasing unto God. They are not doing the things that please God. There isn't that many of them. They're written out in the New Testament. So all you got to do is look and do those things. In Romans chapter 11 and verse 17 through 22, Romans chapter 11, verse 17 through 22, the Word of God says this. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now you share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. For if you do, consider this. Think about this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. That's Jesus. You will say, but the branches were broken off that I could be grafted in. That's right. But if the natural ones were broken off to put you in because of unbelief, and you stand there only by faith, do not be arrogant, but be afraid. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. And the sternness or the severity of God, sternness unto those who fell, but the kindness unto you, provided that you continue in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. You have to continue in his kindness, or you too will be cut off. In Psalm 100 and verse 4, it tells us another way that we can please God. The word of the Lord says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That's two things. Let me tell you the difference. You enter his gates with thanksgiving, that's private, that's individual. That's thanking God for all that he has done for you, for all that he has provided for you, for all that he has given you, for all of the needs that have been met. And then his courts, the courts are where it is filled with people. Courts in heaven are filled with angels and saints. The courts down here are where all the people are. Where you are giving praise unto God, where you are sharing the kingdom of God, where you seek to expand the kingdom of God. For seek ye first the kingdom of God. The real wording there is expansion of. And all of these things will be given unto you. You don't have to worry about what you have a need of. If you please God, everything you have a need of will be given to you. Everything. A lady wrote me the other day and she said, please pray for me. Our marriage is about to go down. I have very high blood pressure and there's a multitude of other things wrong. And then the next sentence is what really got me. Because she said, although we have started going to church, there is a multitude of other things that are wrong in our life and in our walk with God that we have not changed. At that point, I quit reading. There was no sense in going on. All I could do is write back to her. Here's a person who knows, absolutely knows, been convicted of the Holy Spirit, knows what she's doing is wrong, displeasing in the sight of God, and she will not stop. It is a waste of my time to pray for her. When you know what's wrong, when God has spoken to you and told you, don't go that way, walk another way, and you refuse to go, then you will pay the consequences. Then it is your fault that your needs are not being met. For you are no longer pleasing to God. Remember, you exist, you live, you're there. That you might be pleasing to God. But when you remove all these things out of your life that are pleasing to God, what reason is there for God to keep you around? Think about that. We're talking about an eternal situation here tonight. If you are not your own, you don't belong to yourself. Your body's not your own. Do you have a right to watch all of these movies you want to watch? To get involved in all of this fantasy you want to get involved in? To play all the Nintendo that you want to get involved in, to do all these other things, do you think that's pleasing to God? I think not. Your mind, your body, and everything about you belongs to God. God is calling you to prayer, and you're refusing to sit down and watch the Friday night movie or play Nintendo or and go out to McDonald's or something else. That body is not yours. You don't have any right to do anything with it unless God tells you to do it. It's his. He bought it. You sold it to him, remember? You made an agreement. It's his body now. And you are required to leave it with the Lord. In Matthew 22 and verse 37, Jesus is speaking, and the Word of God says, Jesus replied, and he said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. I've heard so many Christians say that. Oh, yes. No problem with that, brother. I love the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my soul, and with all of my mind. And then they go out and fellowship with the ungodly with the selfish, self-righteous, self-centered, worldly people who actually hate God. They will sit there and listen to off-color jokes, cursing, swearing, all manner of evil, even though the scripture says, bring no evil before your eyes. But they will fellowship with those people. You know why they fellowship with them? Because it's their family. Hardest thing there is to get away from, quickest thing that'll bring you to hell, your unsaved family. By all means, go to them and share the gospel with them, minister to them. But the word of the Lord says, fellowship with those of like faith. Would you tell your wife, honey, I love you? Oh, I love you with everything that's within me. I love you until death do us part. And then you go out with your friends, and all night long, they tell you what an ugly mutt you're married to, how she's no good and rotten and ugly. You think you'd put up with that? Better yet, if your wife heard it, you think she'd put up with you? How do you think God feels when he sees who you're fellowshipping with? When he hears what you're listening to? When he sees the jokes that you're laughing at? Jesus said, I have become the joke of the drunkards. You ever watch Jay Leno or any of the Tonight shows? You'll see it fulfilled, and yet you'll sit there and laugh right along with them. And that body's not yours. Jesus said, paraphrase, that body's mine. Bring no evil before those eyes. Bring no evil before your ears. But rather meditate on the things above. Think on the things above. Think on the things of God. Read your word. Pray. Seek God. Live in repentance and live in holiness. And so few people are willing to do that. I read a statistic this morning that scared me. It literally scared me. It made me shake to realize how bad things were getting. I don't know who did it. Sometime this week I'll go back and find out who actually conducted the thing, and I'll mention it. But they did a survey in the United States, and they found that 77% of the people who claim to be Christian said that the worst thing they could think of was bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ unto others. That we shouldn't do that. My God in heaven, have mercy! If we do not go out and preach this gospel of a renewed life, a born-again life, what are we here for? People, that's the only reason we're here, to bring the others into the kingdom of God, that we may bring the light of the Lord Jesus Christ unto all the nations all over the world. That's why we're here. And no, nothing else will take them. Islam will not take them. All these other religions won't take them. Not to be with Jesus, it'll take them straight to hell. There's only one empty grave. The one that they tried to put Jesus in. But 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He was resurrected. And he went to heaven. And he now sits at the right hand of the Father. And he intercedes for us. Sometime, look at the times when Jesus got up. For three times I count that Jesus got up. He was sitting next to the Father. But there was three times that he got up. One time when they were stoning Stephen, Jesus got up. And the scripture says now he's standing next to the Father. And I believe he was standing there saying, Father, do you see my son Stephen? Do you see him being martyred for me? Stephen was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for he knew it was the gospel of salvation unto every man that lives. And you and I have got to go way back to that point to learn that same lesson all over again. I couldn't believe that 70-some percent of so-called Christians had gotten that stupid, that they forgot what the Great Commission was about. They forgot why we got saved. They forgot what God gave us to do. The reason that we live, the reason that we breathe and walk and talk, our very existence is to serve the Lord. That we might be a pleasure unto God. I want to share something with you just very quickly. In the United States of America, where I live, and I love my country, don't get me wrong, but you can sing God Bless America all day and all night, and it's not going to happen. Because I believe with everything within me, along with thousands of other men and women of God, that the judgment of God is coming upon this country. Now is the time to get ready for it. Now is the time to be prepared. That judgment is going to come at a time that you're not expecting it. Jesus, speaking of us, says that an hour that you know not, I will come for you. Two men will be walking up a hill, and one will be taken, and one will be left. And there'll be two people in bed, and one will be taken, and one will be left. Somewhere in the world it'll have to be night, somewhere in the world it'll have to be day, but Jesus will come for his people. I can think of nothing worse. I can think of nothing more horrible than to realize that Jesus has come and that you're still here. Because I don't care what anybody says, you're never going to get another chance that that happens. If you've heard the gospel and rejected it, you'll never get another chance. It's too late. It's too late for you to get right with God. You're going to stay the way you are for the next 7 years at least, until you appear at the judgment seat of Christ. What an awesome place that is going to be. When Jesus speaks to the millions and says, away from me, I never knew you. I pray that you're not one of them. In Jesus' name, be blessed.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to tune in again next time for the alarm call. Remember, if you would like to contact us for prayer requests, or if you just need someone to talk to, you can reach us on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. You can also send us traditional mail at Post Office Box 1523 in Hollister, Missouri, 65673. Please have a wonderful day, and may God be with you in all that you do.